Governor Militant Delisarius died as the fire tide guttered in the skies of his world. He had been old before he had come to Talon, and had grown 2 decades older before the Iron Warriors killed the world that was his to protect. The Great Crusade had taken his strength, hollowing his cheeks and pulling his liver-spotted skin tight over his skull. When he moved, it was with the click of augmetic support, and he breathed with the hiss of pumps. In the moulded muscle of his armour, he looked like a corpse left to shrivel and dry on the battlefield. He was not a kind man. The Great Crusade had not needed kind men. He was a warrior, and while the loyalists on Talon were a patchwork of factions and power, he was the keystone that held them together. Perhaps it was because in the first months after the bombs fell, he had spoken not of survival, but of striking back, of vengeance. Perhaps it was simply force of will. Perhaps it was because he was there, and people needed someone to follow. No matter the cause, he had become the father of the raiding war, and then the broker between the reinforcements that came later. From the fortress of the Rachab, Delisarius had pulled together the scattered regiments, households, maniples of titans, and warbands of the Legiones Astartes, and created forces that had marched together. His voice and gaze cowed generals, persuaded legion captains and archmagi to put aside their vision of victory and accept his. If he slept, none of his aides saw it. He haunted the Rachab's central strategium through every cycle of day and night. Data slates and scrolls of logistical reports and battle plans followed him in drifts. Not all agreed with him. Many believed that his strategies would do nothing but bleed the loyalists of strength. There were even some who voiced that opinion, and some that argued it to his face. But that did not matter. What were a few rogue voices amongst so many that were happy to agree, or at least stay silent? None could doubt his conviction, and against the man that the Talon-born called Ishak Nul, their promise of vengeance, what could they do? Everywhere he went, a company of guards followed. All were Talon-born, all ordinary people before the death of their world had remade them. They watched their master, following him like tattered ghosts clad in patchwork colours of 12 regimental fatigues. When asked why he favoured these ragged citizens-turned-soldiers, he replied that he owed them vengeance for their world, and that he trusted them to make sure that he lived to see that vengeance fulfilled. On the morning before the Inferno Tide washed the skies, he declared that he would journey south to the Crescent Shelter. He had made such journeys twice before, never announcing them until an hour before he would move. His Talon-born company would go with him, their war machines bracketing his baneblade. On each previous occasion, he had arrived at his destination. The true dawn was breaking over the mist-veiled land. The fire tide lingered as an oily tint to the light which streaked through the fog. Running in tight formation, Delisarius's convoy was moving at combat speed over a series of ridges to the north of the plains of Khediv. Just as the Governor Militant's baneblade crested a rise, the Vanquisher, riding directly in front of it, slowed suddenly, rotated its turret, and fired a shell into the baneblade. The distance was no more than 40 meters, and the shell struck the baneblade's belly armour just as it showed above the ridgeline. The shells stabbed into the hull and hit the central ammo hoppers. The turret blew off. The Vanquisher lasted 5 more seconds before the guns of its comrades killed it in turn. As the news passed through the Loyalists, one question followed in its wake. How could this happen? And the truth that settled in the growing panic was that no one knew.